Gopinatha Shama Kundarada Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Abhimanandi. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. I have to say, having Nagaraj lead Kirtan and Ishwara Puri playing the Ganga was just like the old days, for those of us that have been here for a minute. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, first chapter, text number 25. Sa Vasudevanu Charam Prashantam. Brihaspati Praktanayam Pratitam. Alingya Gaddam Pranahina Badram.
Alingya Gaddam
स्वानम अपृच्छत् भगवत् प्रजानम् सवासुदेवानुचारं पशन्तम् बृहस्पति प्रत्यनयं प्रतीतम् आलिङ्ग्य गदं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानम् अपृच्छत् भगवत् प्रजानम् सा वासुदेवानुचरं प्रशन्तम् बृहस्पति प्रक्थनयं पतितम् आलिङ्गगदं प्रणयेन भद्रम् स्वानम् अपृच्छत् भगवत् प्रजानम् Vasudeva,
Lord Krishna.
Anucharam,
constant companion.
Prashantam,
very sober and gentle.
Brihaspati, of Brihaspati, the learned spiritual master of the demigods.
Formerly.
Tanayam, son or disciple. Pratitam, acknowledged. Alingya, embracing. Gadam,
very feelingly.
Pranayena,
in love.
Badram,
auspicious.
Svanam, his own.
Apichat,
asked.
Bhagavat,
of the personality of Godhead.
Pajanam,
family. There's a handful of Sanskrit words in here that are actually very, very sweet. This whole verse is very sweet, but particularly the combination of gadam panayena, very feelingly and love. This is actually what we're all aspiring for. Hopefully on a higher level than just what we find in this mundane world, but very interesting. Analinga, embracing with very feeling love. Translation. Then due to his great love and feeling, Vidur embraced Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati's. Vidur then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Vidura was older than Uddhava, like a father. And therefore, when the two met, Uddhava bowed down before Vidura. And Vidura embraced him because Uddhava was younger, like a son. Vidura's brother, Pandu, was Lord Krishna's uncle. And Uddhava was a cousin to Lord Krishna. According to social custom, therefore, Vidura was to be respected by Uddhava on the level of his father. Uddhava was a great scholar in logic, and he was known to be a son or disciple of Brihaspati, the greatly learned priest and spiritual master of the demigods. Vidura asked Uddhava about the welfare of his relatives, although he already knew that they were no longer in the world. This inquiry appears to be very queer, but Srila Jiva Goswami states that the news was shocking to Vidura, who therefore inquired again due to great curiosity. Thus, his inquiry was psychological and not practical. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmalidam Matasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachanam Pandum Lam Jayate Girin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarino Vansha Kapatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. The overlying theme of this verse is love and friendship. Love and friendship that we find between the devotees of the Lord. This friendship is sometimes tinged with appreciative respect. Sometimes it's tinged with compassion. And sometimes it's tinged with equality. We'll get into all these different variations of friendship in a little bit. But I wanted to take a second and look at the personalities that are mentioned in this verse as well as in Srila Prabhupada's purport. All the individuals noted in this regard are very highly respected devotees. Vidura, Uddhava, Pandu, Brihaspati. For the sake of maybe understanding their positions, we've placed them in order of the highest first, and if we do that, then we would have to have Uddhava. The very top of this list. Following Uddhava, we would have Vidura. Following Vidura, we would have Pandu. And then following Pandu, we would have Brihaspati. Now, these last two, there may be some question about their placement, but I'll explain. So, a little background understanding on these individuals will help us understand how I've come to this ranking here, so to speak. Excuse me. Brihaspati, of course we know he is the chief priest, the guru of the demigods, giving them counsel, giving them guidance, giving them direction, a very highly placed individual personality. Our first encounter with Brihaspati is in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in verse 24, wherein Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, and he's explaining to Arjuna the way to see the Supreme in different ways throughout creation. This is actually very instructive, this particular chapter. I was just discussing this with some devotees the other day. This particular chapter is very instructive because it allows us to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead at least his representations, throughout creation in so many different ways. Flower-bearing spring, sun, all these different things. So in this particular verse, Purodasham Chamukyamam Vidhi Partham Brihaspatim. Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati, the Lord of devotion. So we're introduced to Brihaspati in the Bhagavad Gita, and for many of us, Bhagavad Gita is the first thing we've come in contact with in our process of understanding Krishna consciousness, of being introduced to Krishna consciousness. And so in this sense, he presents Brihaspati as the Lord of devotion. He does not, Krishna, in this explanation to Arjuna, go into any details, you know, what he's done, what his position is, what his character like that, you know. But he simply gives, this is one way you can see me. Among the priests, I'm Brihaspati. Now, of course, there's a lot of popular conversation right now. There's a recent movie out called Oppenheimer about the creation of the atomic bomb. And we all know how he, the creator of this bomb, referred to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, death I am, the destroyer of all worlds. It's getting a lot of public and social media presentation and all like that. And some reference to the Bhagavad Gita, even to the point that the individual actor that plays that role notes that he studied the Bhagavad Gita to kind of get the mood of the statement that would be made. So even in the process of creating such a deadly item, such a deadly thing as the atomic bomb, one can see Krishna. Seeing Krishna is not restricted by one circumstance. I mean, to refer back to this biography of this individual, certainly not a practicing Vaishnava, certainly not practicing any of the regulative principles that would give one a clear vision, but nonetheless intelligent and educated enough to know that there is a Supreme Being and this is one way that we can see him. And he quotes this verse. So Krishna quoting this verse to Arjuna is setting the standard how you can see Krishna everywhere. So we see that Brihaspati holds a very respectable place in our bhakti tradition. Actually, interestingly, though, there's only a handful of verses spoken by him in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8 to be exact, according to Vanapedia. We have our two standards of knowledge in our modern day, Wikipedia and Vanapedia. I'll take Vanapedia for $100, please. Vanapedia, of course, is the compilation of all of the information in Prabhupada's books and lectures and teachings and like that. And it is very carefully presented and documented and referenced. Wikipedia, on the other hand, may not be correct. It's like Sri Google. Okay, it's there, but you might not want to, you might want to be very careful about quoting it in Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada says that one speaks, one should quote the source, the reference to which they're speaking from. So one can very confidently quote from Vanapedia. One should be cautious about quoting from Wikipedia. At any rate, so, and in regards to these 8 verses, and most of these 8 verses, and I say this with the greatest respect and as politely as possible, are in regards to questionable relationships with women, pregnancy, and the source of one's lineage. Now, it's to be noted that Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods, as we mentioned. He's the advisor to King Indra, and he's the one who, in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, advises Indra, you cannot conquer Bali Maharaj. Not going to happen. Don't try to start a fight. You can't win, and you cannot win this one. So just chill. Take your time. Wait things out, you know. There'll be an advantage to your favor in the future, but now's not that time. So don't try to engage in a battle with. So he gives very good advice. Yet, with respect, we repeat the Bhagavatam's telling that he struggles with sex desire, brihaspati. And he finds himself in several awkward circumstances, as foretold in detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't necessarily need to go into those. Anyone interested can easily find it in the Bhagavatam. Yet, he's still referred to throughout the Vedas and throughout the Bhagavatam itself with great respect because of his knowledge, because of his instruction, because of his understanding of the conclusion. Certainly, this can be a lesson to the likes of us in this day and age as to how to treat others and the shortcomings that they may or may not have in their character. Even in the 9th chapter of the first canto, when all the personalities that have gathered for the passing of Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada describes in the purports of those verses all the different personalities and gives a little information about them. And in that section, Prabhupada says little but only praise of Brihaspati. Only praise. There is no need to publicly point out some shortcomings that may have been there. He has this position. He serves in this way. That is what we know. We can't help but remember one time when one of Prabhupada's senior men left the Society of Vaishnavas and had some difficulty and as a result departed. And unfortunately, one of Prabhupada's other servants spoke quite openly about this individual's shortcomings, quite publicly. And Prabhupada chastised him. He said, you have now made it impossible for him to come back. So Brihaspati may have his shortcomings, which are delineated in detail in the Bhagavatam, but those that are great devotees, they appreciate the good qualities and the service he renders and do not dwell on those. And as I say, we have this example from Prabhupada. Secondly, we have Pandu. The shortened lifespan of Pandu is also due to some implication in the sex desire. We all know the story, and that's a long and detailed story in and of itself. So we see that even though these two great personalities are there, there is some difficulty in their execution. And then the last two personalities, Vidura and Uddhava, are both very well above this type of base desire, this type of mundane material interest. Prabhupada refers to both Vidura and Uddhava repeatedly as pure devotees. So it's telling that when these two meet, they share a great degree of affection for each other. If we go back to this verse here, to the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada points out that Vidura was like a father, and Uddhava would be his junior. So when Uddhava came before him, he bowed down respectfully, and Vidura bent over and picked him up and embraced him. This exact description is there so many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, where such and such devotee will come before someone and very humbly get down and offer their obeisances, and that personality will lift them up and embrace them as an equal, very affectionately, with great love. And we see this is the nature of this type of affection, very feelingly with love, embracing by the devotees. This isn't something that just takes place only here in the Bhagavatam. It's not something that takes place only in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We see it amongst our own lives. Great affection that we have for our friends, for our fellow Vaishnavas. So this degree of affection with each other is very significant. And this type of friendship, it's very frequently shared in the devotional realm. I'm mentioning these different resources because we see described through all of the different pastimes this type of mood. You know, relationships in this world with the Vaishnavas are not illusion. They're not a part of the Maya that distracts us. But instead, these relationships with the devotees, with the Vaishnavas, these are what keep us connected. These are what keep us in service. These are what keep us on the straight and narrow path. What is that Prabhupada says in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam? Fifth canto? I believe it's the fifth canto. Or maybe it's the ninth canto. He says that one who thinks they can become, in one purport, one who thinks they can become Krishna conscious without the association of Vaishnavas / this ISKCON society is living in an illusion. It cannot be done. So what cannot be done? We cannot become Krishna conscious without Sadhu Sangha. This is one of the most important principles. And Sadhu Sangha means affection. It means loving relationships. Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita explains this very well. One friend was sending me this quote. They were studying it in their reading class from the Upadeshamrita, the different types of loving exchanges between devotees. Rupa Goswami is the greatest of renunciates. He has no need for society, family, friendship, love. He's living under a different tree each night. All of his focus, when he does finally settle down into one residence, is to the service of Radha Govinda Dev, is to the instruction of the Vrijavasis, is to the guiding of the Vaishnavas. So he has no need for any of this type of relationship, but he's instructing these are the type of loving exchanges that are there, which means that these are part of the devotional activities. Nectar devotion is filled with so many different descriptions of the friendships that Krishna has with his different types of devotees. So this sadhu sangha, this association, this is what keeps us solid in our Krishna consciousness. If you don't have that association, you're going to have some other association. Association is human nature. I mean, you have an occasional hermit here or there that lives out in, you know, you'll read about this somewhere. Some guy that's been living in the forest for, you know, X number of years, built him a little thatched hut under a cave and has no running water and no electricity. And, you know, so this type of life is there. But generally speaking, the human animal is very social in their dealings. So to base that on our devotional relationships will actually aid us in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Now, even though the actual lineage places Vidura higher than Uddhava, neither of them, especially Vidura, is caught up in these distinctions. Oh, I'm the senior, you're the junior, get down. Oh, you have an, what's that, there's this, out of respect, when we take the ghee lamp that has been offered to the deities, and we give it to Srila Prabhupada, then out of respect, we go to the senior, to the most junior, like that. One should not become too concerned, oh, they missed me. They put some younger people before me. There's a funny little cartoon. One new bhakta is saying to an experienced devotee, how do I tell who to offer the lamp to first? He says, you look at the seeker, the gray ones first, the lighter, you know, like that. So, but if by some chance, oh, they didn't offer me the ghee lamp in proper order, oh, I'm offended, I'm leaving. No, we shouldn't be concerned like that. We see Vidura and Uddhava, they're not focused on this. Vidura is not caught up in the fact that, yes, I'm the senior, Uddhava should be respecting me. Now, Uddhava's level of intelligence and Uddhava's spiritual insight are very strong because he's a disciple of Brihaspati. He was able to embrace all the good qualities that Brihaspati possessed, it describes. And yet, in humility, Vidura is inquiring from him on a subject that he well knows the answer to. Now, this is interesting. Sometimes we see, particularly descriptions are there in conversations in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Gauralila literatures, that a devotee will know the answer, but they will pose a question to Mahaprabhu, or pose a question. Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu are a perfect example of this. These answers were known by both. These questions were known by both. But Mahaprabhu is placing them before Ramananda Roy. Why? Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Mahaprabhu left Puri to go to the south, he said, you must meet with one devotee named Ramananda Roy. Very exalted, very pure devotee. This be to your benefit. To his benefit? Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's to his benefit? But in that role of an incarnation as a devotee, he's accepting with great appreciation the instruction of a senior devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to meet with someone who Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya feels can benefit Mahaprabhu's level of understanding. So in this way, he goes and talks, and he's posing questions which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows these answers. But the nature of the relationship, the nature of the instruction being put out there for our ultimate benefit is there. So Vidura knows the answer to these questions that he's putting forward to Uddhava. Now, as a sidebar, I mentioned that Brihaspati only has 8 verses that he directly speaks from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Uddhava, on the other hand, there are 90 different verses attributed to him, not the least of which is the Uddhava Gita in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Additionally, Uddhava is held in such a high esteem that Krishna chooses him to personally deliver the message that Krishna once sent to the gopis, knowing with the side effect that Uddhava will see their advanced level of love for Krishna and be able to appreciate and benefit from that. Here again, sending someone to someone that would appear to be a junior, but for the purpose of them benefiting by that association. This is the very nature of Vaishnava Sangha. When you get a reading group together, we have many reading groups in this community, and you know, study group, we have our morning class, of course, and we have so many study groups and all. And in these groups, it's not a question of who is the senior, who is the junior. These are common venues for devotees to speak together, sharing their realizations, opening up their understandings, and putting forth questions that they may well know the answer to, but want to hear the conversation about in an assembly of Vaishnavas. This is Krishna Katha. Sometimes, you know, we fall prey to the mistaken idea, I need to hear something new, I need to hear something new. I've already heard all that. I asked Dinabandhu one time. I said, Dinabandhu Prabhu, I said, you've spent your entire life living here in Vrindavan. You take devotees around to all these places and tell all these pastimes. But it's the same pastimes. He said, yes, but they're not. Each time they're told, they become sweeter. And if you become a suitable vehicle for telling this pastime, then different realizations will come. So it's not that every time we visit Kaliyagat, okay, who's got a new story about what happened here? I want some new information. I know this story, I've already heard it, I'm going to the next place. No, but sitting and hearing about these things is actually beneficial for us. So in this regards, Krishna has sent Uddhava as his personal emissary to the gopis with a message, knowing that not only will he deliver the message, but he will observe how the message is received. This is a very important point. Prabhupada mentions that the spiritual science only produces a result when the speaker is potent and the hearer is receptive. So this is a very essential factor here also. Krishna knows that Uddhava is a very potent speaker, but he knows that he'll be able to listen and observe the behavior of the gopis and learn from them. Now, Prabhupada notes in the purport here that while this inquiry by Vidura on something he already knows seems a bit strange, queer is the word that he uses, he says Srila Jiva Goswami sheds some light on the nature of the question. He explains, and this is from the purport, the news, referring to the departure of the Pandavas and the family of Krishna, excuse me, was shocking to Vidura, who therefore inquired again due to great curiosity. Thus, his inquiry was psychological and not practical. Psychological and not practical. This means there is a psychological understanding and influence in our advancement and moving forward in Krishna consciousness. So what is the simple definition of psychology, psychological? Psychology itself is the scientific study of the mind and behavior. Psychologists are actively involved in studying and understanding mental processes, brain functions, and their impact on behavior. This is interesting. In other words, the news of the family departure was so shocking and disturbing to Vidura, he wanted to try and further understand it by hearing about it again and again, to process the impact that this news was having on his mind and his behavior. I mean, you can understand. Vidura is a greatly advanced devotee, intimate family member of this whole dynasty, and all of a sudden they're all gone. They've all departed. Now, if we lose a member in our community, we right now have two members of our community on hospice, just preparing to depart from this world. Just a week or two ago, another one, and a month before that, another one, and you know, this is happening all the time. And sometimes these events are very difficult for us to process due to our connection. And then, you know, we have these memorial services where everyone comes and speaks about the individual so that we can begin to appreciate and somehow grasp some balance in our own mind and behavior of dealing with this loss, this departure. So this is why Vidura is asking this. Not because he doesn't know what happened, not because he's unclear about what it all means, because he needs the psychological balance of understanding it better and thus being able to act appropriately. If we take a further look at another side of this, it's a deeper look, I think we could say. Prabhupada's referring to Srila Jiva Goswami for an understanding that represents a very important aspect of one's spiritual and devotional life. His explanation there, it exemplifies the need, the necessity, the very importance of taking shelter, of taking guidance, and taking direction from senior Vaishnavas. Here again, age-wise, Vidura and Uddhava are on one level, but when it comes to trying to understand these deeper spiritual sciences, this age factor isn't an issue. So Vidura is asking of Uddhava, explains to me more and more. So he's taking that shelter, that guidance. He wants to hear some direction from someone he considers to be more spiritually advanced. Our ability to understand much, I mean, if not all, of what we are exposed to and are developing Krishna consciousness is mostly nil without Prabhupada's purports, without Prabhupada's guidance. They're the key to unlocking our deeper understanding of what's being said. What it means to us and how we can use it. There's many devotees that'll tell how they had read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, numerous different publications until they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's. And then the light went on. There's, you know, that classic example, somebody's suddenly, they kind of tilt their head and there's a light bulb drawn above them, like, oh, now I get it. I have a bit of a reputation of being a little humorous and a bit of a jokester at work. And we had this display, it was a cardboard light bulb. So I carried it around with me a little bit. Sometimes I carry props around. And when I would be told something by one of the bosses, I'd hold it up. The point being that You know, the light came on when we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's purports to the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, this is why it's entitled Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not Bhagavad Gita as someone translated for their political or social or, you know, whatever movement, but Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Krishna spoke it. And this is the time-honored process, the time-honored way of accepting and developing our knowledge. And it's something that even Srila Prabhupada followed. When Prabhupada traveled, he carried with him a commentary on the acharyas speaking on the Bhagavad, the different acharyas, all in one book, a very large book. And he would keep it with him there. When he was doing his own writings, he would consult the writings of these acharyas for his Bhaktivedanta purports. And an example of that is found right here. Prabhupada didn't just pull this out of thin air. He had the reference material. This is an interesting point. Vidura is asking something. Oh, but Jiva Goswami. And so he puts that into his Bhaktivedanta purports for our benefit. So all of this type of information, this is why there's that famous story. I believe it was Shubhi Kip. He might have been Harisari. One of his servants walked into the room. Prabhupada's reading his book. Servant said, oh, you're reading your books? Yes, I'd like to see what Krishna has written. Acknowledging that all of this information is there, and Prabhupada is just the vehicle. So this is a very important point too. Now, going back to my opening point about the nature of love and friendship amongst the devotees. In Srila Prabhupada's books, particularly, as I mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, and many of his lectures, Prabhupada speaks about the different types of friendships. But in my friend Sesha's book, Writing in Pursuit of Virtue, he puts all of this together in a very, very concise chapter entitled Friendship. He starts out with a quote, understanding what is friendship. Friendship is defined as a state of enduring affection, esteem, intimacy, and trust between two people. I think we can all say this is very accurate. Someone's my friend because I have great affection for them. Someone's my friend because I have esteem for what they've accomplished. Someone's my friend because of our intimate sharing. Someone's my friend because I trust them. We trust a friend. You're my friend, I'm going to tell you something. Please don't tell anyone else. You're confident that they won't. Of course, Abraham Lincoln had a very interesting thing to say about secrets. He said, secrets seem to be kept amongst three people if two of them are dead. So, but the point is that this is part of the sharing of friendships. So there are three Sanskrit words used to describe friends. Bandhu is the first one. And this relates to kinsmen, relationships, association, and respect. And the Hitopadesh divides this even further into four types of these bandhu friendships. Those that are there by blood, in other words, family relationship. Those that are there by marriage. Sometimes you develop friendships with the partner's family. Sometimes not, but sometimes. By a connection to the family, someone who is, you know, like I remember when I was growing up, we lived in St. Louis, and my mother and father's roots were in Mayfield, Kentucky, which has now been wiped off the map. And so we would regularly drive to Mayfield. And my mother and father would schlep us around to Aunt Dulcie and Uncle Joni and Aunt, you know, all. And I had no clue who these people were, but there was some relationship based on connection to the family. And then the fourth type described is one who protects others in distress. Now this person becomes your friend. Someone's in great distress and you give them shelter. So this all falls under the category of bandhu. The second type of friendship described in this chapter, mitra. And this is a general term for a friend who is an equal, where both individuals gain a mutual benefit or where there is an alliance together based on a common need. The classic phrase, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So you work together with someone to accomplish something. You join forces to get a particular goal. This develops a type of friendship. And then surid. This is considered to be the highest level, more so than the other two, because it's based on a mood of friendship that is not dependent on what one can get from the other person. We all have friends like that, you know, through thick and thin. This is an intimate friend that knows the heart of the other person and will act unhesitatingly for that friend's benefit without being asked and, very important here, without any doubt. So we have friendships like that, you know, very, very high level of friendship, and we completely trust this individual. So these are the three types of friendships described in many shastras and very concisely put together in Sesha's book that I really do recommend all of you read. External circumstances also will play an important role in bringing life to these different types of friendships. Not everybody is going to be in the same scenario. Many times you speak to people that have been through a very difficult time together, and this shared experience of this difficulty forges a deep and enduring friendship. We have so many natural disasters going on in the world nowadays, and as a result of going through this together, sometimes people develop friendships. They're there for each other. Some of us that have been in this ISKCON for a very long time have gone through a couple of things. And the fact that we're still with each other and still here develops a type of long-lasting friendship. Going through the service in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, this type of camaraderie builds a very strong bond that supersedes time. It can last for decades and decades and decades. We also see this type of friendship is described in the lives of our Goswamis in Vrindavan. Srinivasacharya's Shad Goswamastakam, he notes in the opening verse that the six Goswamis were liked by both the gentle and the ruffians. Dira, dira, jana priyo. Jana, humanity, humans, beings. Dira, very solid, and adira, not so solid. Very fixed and unfixed. Very serious, very not serious, however. And then Priyo, great affection. So the ruffians and the gentle alike, they had great appreciation for the Goswamis because they developed friendships. To the point, Sanatan Goswami was so loved and cherished. Sanatan Goswami would travel all throughout the different villages of Braj, and he would stop in at different individuals' homes. Oh, how is the family doing? Did you get the daughter married yet? Oh, and how is your son? His education is going well? What was the crops like this year? Did you get a good yield? Common questions. What do we need to hear these things? But as Raghunath Das Goswami says, even if they simply speak mundane topics, let me hear the conversations of the Brajavasis. So in this way, Sanatana Goswami was endeared and loved by everyone. To the point that when he departed this world, every male in all of Braj shaved their head, as one does when a father or uncle departs from this world. This was the type of mood that Sanatana Goswami fostered, and this was how loved he was. He's a great renunciate. But that did not stand in the way of developing these relationships and friendships. Janavamata is another example. At the Great Khatri Festival, this story is told in the current issue of Back to Godhead magazine, which I assume everyone here has a subscription to. If you don't, go home and do it today. Janavamata, when the process came for Prashad, she was actually an amazing cook as well as being the world acharya. When the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took place, for some decades after that, there were different camps that developed. Might sound a little familiar. There were different individuals that had different ideas and philosophies, and everybody thought theirs was the right way. This is what has to be done. So this came to a point to where there, at the Khatri Festival, there was a great seminar, if you want. And everyone gathered together, and all of these different ideas were heard and discussed, and Janavamata passed the ruling decision what was right, what was not. But she did it in such love and affection that everybody accepted. Nobody felt like, oh, she was favoring those. I mean, her own humility is exemplified by the fact that when she cooked all the prasadam that was then offered by Srinivasacharya to the deities that had just been installed, then the prasadam was served out to the devotees under her personal direction, sometimes going down the line by her own hand, putting pakoras and samosas and puris on the devotees' plates. When everyone had eaten, then Srinivas and Narottam, Santosh, said, my dear gentlemen, do you please sit and we'll serve you? No. I want to serve you. She spent all night in the kitchen cooking, spent the whole morning serving the prasadam, and now she wants to serve the servers of those who were served. So she sits them down and she serves Srinivas, Narottam, Shamananda, Santosh, Duki Krishna, Ramchandra, all of their associates. And you notice these names are all the senior men. They weren't like, you know, where's our pakora? No, they were serving everyone else. And then once they had all been served, then she sat and Narottam begged her, please, now you sit and let us serve you. She took a little prasad. So this kind of humility only can be there, this type of shared service only can be there, this type of respect, when there is friendship, when there is appreciation. One of these three different main types of friendships that one can be there. So these types of friendships we find in our devotional life. And these are the kind of relationships, friendships that make our efforts, make our journey, they make our endeavors much easier to pass through and much easier to stay fixed in our own goal of advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, while during the recent pandemic times embracing was restricted, we see here now that this is an activity that's actually encouraged amongst devotees. So, go for it. Thank you very much. I really felt blessed to be able to speak on this verse because friendships in Krishna consciousness is all any of us have, you know? Not much else. This is the way to go back to home, back to Godhead. I mean, dare I quote the Mandalorian, this is the way. Some of you won't even, that's fine. Questions, comments, corrections? Nothing? Good. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Vaishnava Sangha.